Today, the title is Life Together. Life Together. And the main text is John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Okay, we're just projecting the title and the main text, but during the sermon, I'm just going to give you the reference to the passage, so you need to get your Bible out and your Bible app out, you know, because we're going to read it together, you know. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And the church said, during this pandemic, as a church and as a pastor, we need to do some soul searching. As a church, you know, as a Christian, as a disciple, we need to do some soul searching. The pandemic has, yes, limited our in-person gathering, severely limited our in-person gathering. But I was thinking, should that limit the church? Okay. Should that limit the church? My answer is no. Okay. No. See, when I look at the New Testament church, the Bible says the New Testament church was meeting in their home and in the temple court. I believe the temple court was the larger meeting, you know, when they got together in the temple court in Jerusalem. But if you know the history, the temple court was destroyed in 70 AD. It was destroyed. You know, it's like, you know, this building, I don't know, was destroyed. What do you do? What can we do? That did not stop the New Testament church from being a church. Okay? That did not stop the New Testament church from being a church. See, the church is connected to an all-powerful and loving God. That's what makes a church a church. Church is not a building. A church is you, and you are the body of Jesus Christ. You are the church. The church is about loving God, loving one another, loving this community, and loving the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And yes, you know, I want, like all of us, you know, the whole world, we want this pandemic to be over. You know, I want all of us to be able to get, people online, I miss you. I miss you. I want all of us to be able to get together in this sanctuary once again, of course. I love the celebration. I enjoy the freedom and worship. I wish we could all sing together in one voice. I wish we could pray together with one heart. You know, I want us to minister together without any fear, together lift up the Lord and testify to the goodness of God. We all want that, right? We all want that. The pandemic, even though it limits our in-person gathering, I believe there is something the church can learn in the midst of the pandemic. See, one thing that the pandemic is doing, it exposes the weakness, and it also exposes the weakness of the church, the pandemic. Okay? And, you know, like, for example, the government, this pandemic is really exposing the weakness of our government. It's showing that they cannot get along. It's showing the disunity. It's also showing the failure of a leadership. When I say this, I mean both parties, Republican and Democratic Party. The failure of the leadership. In a business, this pandemic will show some unhealthiness in the business model, the weakness of the business model. In your home, the pandemic will bring to surface the issue that's in your home. In your heart, the pandemic will show the brokenness and weakness of what's going on inside of you. And as a church, the pandemic will reveal the weakness of the church. And you know, what the world is saying about the church during this pandemic? You know it. The world is saying about the church, it is that it is a non-essential. Read the newspaper. That the church is non-essential. The world, this community, the people outside the church, this is how they view the church. Liquor store is an essential. Okay? Liquor store is an essential, but the church is a non-essential. That's what they're saying. Outside of the church. And during the pandemic, you know, pastors are getting all upset, you know. The government is persecuting the church. I've been to churches in other countries that's persecuted. We're not going through persecution. I'm just being honest here. This is not persecution. Okay? But the government sees the church as non-essential. But I don't really blame the government for seeing us that way. I believe partly we are to blame. Partly we are to blame. We're not being the church that the Bible talks about. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. You know, it says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Huh? That's how Jesus sees the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the earth." John chapter 10, verse 10. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Church, this is what Jesus says to us. "I have come that you may have life, and life to the full." You know, let's be that biblical church catalyst. Let's be that, we can be that biblical church in the midst of this pandemic. We can be that light on a hill that the whole city could see this light. The pandemic exposes the weakness of the church. You know, it will show all the excesses, the politics, the legalism, the meaningless traditions, worldly values, wrong teachings, the lack of love, and what it will show, and what it's showing me during this pandemic, the lack of impact to the society at large. They're saying we are non-essential. During this pandemic, let's become a church that will impact the society. You know, honestly, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. But I believe in you. Catalyst can do it. You can do it. This is that one church. I believe we can do this. You know, and but we're going to have to do this step by step. You know, it wasn't going to the ends of the earth, right? It says from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. There were, you know, there's individual challenges that we are facing, and this pandemic will bring it to the surface. It will expose it. The pandemic will show where you are spiritually. Okay? Reveal work, you know, Christianity. Where is it in your priority? It will expose your Christian faith during this pandemic. And so, you know, let's prayerfully and proactively during this pandemic take responsibility for our spiritual life and build up our Christian life. But that first, one of the important steps that we need to do today, you know, because this today we're talking about life group, you know, I don't want to talk about large group meetings, yeah. Large group meeting, but small group, our life group. Our life group, this is where we will build our relationship with one another. This is where we learn to love one another. Huh? If we don't have this, we don't have John chapter 13. Huh? We will not impact the community. The community will not know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Evangelism will not work if we don't have this basic foundation to a church. Missions will not work. I've seen very, you know, where a church that cannot love each other, they do mission, they might have hundreds of thousands of dollars in budget, but they're very ineffective in missions because in their church, they can't love each other. They have the money, but it's not the money that makes missions effective. Is their love, is their love that makes missions effective. Our relationship with one another, how we treat one another, our deep relationship, authentic, loving community will testify, the Bible said. All people will know that you are a disciple of Jesus. That you are a disciple of Jesus. Yeah. The Bible says, doesn't say legalism or self-righteousness will show that you're a disciple of Jesus. It's our love that shows that we are disciples. You know, but it's difficult to love each other. You know why? Because in this broken world, all of us face rejection, disappointment. There's shame. There's insecurities. There's brokenness. You know, there's spiritual attack on relationship. And because of those things, we don't want to work on relationship. You know, we say we're just too busy. Okay? That's why. That's part of it. But in a broken world, we got hurt. When you get hurt, when you get rejected, you kind of, you know, you don't want to work on the relationship. But this is the very reason we have to work on relationship with one another. In relationship, we got rejected, but it is in relationship we get healed. It is in relationship, maybe there was stronghold that developed in your life, there's bondages, but it's also in relationship, God uses the relationship to set us free. It is in relationship we grow, we transform. It is in our relationship with God and in relationship with one another. The greatest commandment is the greatest commandment. That we will be healed, we'll be set free, we'll be a light in the city, we could do evangelism. You know, if you can't love each other, you know, I don't want you to go out. and talk about Jesus. That's why they're saying we are non-essential. I don't want us to go out. And it's in our life group we become a community. It's in our life group that we learn to and grow to love one another. You know, again, it will start in September. Now, please don't look at it as an activity or a program. Don't look at it as another meeting. It's about growing in love with one another. It's about helping each other to love God and love one another. And this is not an easy task. It's not. This is a very difficult thing to do in a broken world. But we have to break through this together. John 13, you know, people thought, I believe the audience that was listening to Jesus in John 13, people thought to be right with God was following hundreds of strict rules and laws. You know, that's how you become right with God. But God came, Jesus came with a new law. God didn't come to love those who couldn't live a perfect life. God came to love sinners. It's easy to love somebody that's perfect. It's very difficult to love sinners. And that's what, turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And, you know, at home with your family, read it out together, you know. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And here too, let's read it together. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus did a very difficult thing. Yeah, knowing that we're not perfect, we're weak, that we're sinners. He died for us. God demonstrated his own love for us, not when we were perfect, doing well, getting everything right. Not when we were legalistic, saying, I follow all this law, so you should accept me. God demonstrated love to us while we were still sinners. While we were sinners. My challenge to the life group, as we start, life group, we need to learn to love like Jesus. Love is not when you are entertained. Love is not when you are comfortable. Life group, to be successful, it is not, you know, we talk about this all the time, finding the best time to meet. You know, we go over the schedule. And I'm not saying it's not important, but is that the most important thing? It's not the material even. It's not the quality of the snacks. You know, some people, we should do some studies. You know, when they have, I don't know, sandwiches and chips, and if they had steak, you know, does it do better? It's not how clean your house is or your apartment is. Right? Love is difficult. Jesus died for us. Love is difficult. It's not easy. But that's what love is, when it's not easy. Okay? Demonstrating love for each other, even with all our faults. You know, growing up, you know, for us, many of us, growing up in the family, if love was based on performance, like the grades or the university that you got accepted to, or how you look or how tall you are, you know. If that was it, you'll feel rejected. You'll feel unloved. There'll be shame and condemnation. But Jesus showed us how to be an authentic community. You see, the Pharisee worked to build a legalism that pushed people out that was not like them, that didn't meet their human standards. We got to look at Jesus. Jesus worked to build a loving community to bring imperfect people in, not out. During this pandemic, there will be a lot of imperfection. There are a lot of people who are lonely. They feel isolated. You know, they're locked down. Past brokenness is rising to the surface. Their weakness is being exposed. There's a lot of fear. There's anger. More than ever, as a church, we need life groups. Life group has to be a place where you will not be judged. It has to be a place where you can be yourself, where you're not afraid to be vulnerable, where you're not afraid to show weakness. And Jesus is the model, and he says, when we are able to do that, you're showing Jesus' love to one another. Amen? Okay, let's pray.